640 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's ordered the civil arrest of Democratic lawmakers who fled the state to block passage of a new voting map favoring the GOP. CBS's Ed O'Keefe spoke with Republican State Rep Carl Tepper.
What would be your message to your Democratic colleagues who left town?
We still love you. We want to see you back in Texas.
But the Democrats say, not yet.
Massive wildfires are growing in the West, including one tearing through Los Padres National Forest north of L.A. Sacramento Metro Fire Captain Mark Nunez.
This is a very rapidly fast-moving fire through steep terrain with lots of dry vegetation. It takes a lot of personnel to take on something of this size.
Florida health officials say 21 people have gotten sick from E. coli by drinking raw, unpasteurized milk linked to the same farm. Six of them were under the age of 10. Seven have been hospitalized. You can only sell raw milk in Florida if it's labeled as pet food. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The federal government has pulled funding for a local camp meant to help neurodivergent kids enjoy STEM subjects. Savannah Tolme Olson reports.
Michael Notaro is the director of the Center for Climatic Research at UW-Madison. He started the first STEM camp 4 years ago in Beloit and has added two more in Madison and Baraboo. They're geared toward middle and high school students and inspired by Notaro's own family.
And the goals of the camps are basically to support and foster neurodiversity, to encourage autistic and neurodiverse youth to consider pursuing science degrees and careers.
The camps were funded by grants from the National Science Foundation, but now they've been canceled. Notaro says because it's geared toward neurodivergent kids, the camp counts as a diversity, equity, and inclusion program. Those types of programs have been targets for the Trump administration.
It was disheartening. It was not surprised at all that it happened. It was, had a pretty hard impact because it was right before the summer when we were getting ready to start up our three camps.
The Coakley Foundation stepped up to keep the camps running this summer. Notaro says thank goodness because families rely on this.
These camps help their kids develop advocacy, build social skills and friendships. In the last 4 years, we've had youth from middle school and high school age kids come from 35 different communities across Wisconsin and Illinois. It's across about a 300-mile radius, and it really demonstrates the fact that families are willing to drive very long distances for these camps.
The future is uncertain, and Notaro is searching for other ways to fund the camps. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI radio stations.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A rainy night in Georgia. The Brewers and the Braves playing in the mist. Top of the fourth, two men on. And the Brewers' Isaac Collins at the plate. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Well, it's 3-2 on Collins. See if they send Yelich. He goes. And a swing and a drive to right field. This has hit a ton. It is gone for Collins. A three-run shot. The Brewers have the lead. Seventh home run of the year for Isaac Collins.
How about this kid, Isaac Collins?
The Brewers held on to win 3-1, their fourth win in a row, thanks to some great base running. Pat Murphy.
I still chalk it up to we base run, William taking off 3-2 there. The threat of Yelly sealing there 3-2. Maybe it changed the pitch that they threw Collins. Who knows? But credit to Isaac. He put a great swing on a pitch.
NFL, the Packers' new starting defensive back, Nate Hobbs, out for at least the next 3 weeks after having knee surgery. The team hoping to have him back for the season opener against the Lions. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to be dealing with more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to 63 tomorrow. More sunshine with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome photographer and musician Chris Rogowski. And Madison film critic Rob Thomas talks about the box office and upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back. It is 8:06 on a Tuesday morning. It's August 5th, 8:05:25, and coming up, we will be talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO about stories he's following in the Wausau area. And in our 8:30 half hour, we'll be talking to Sholly Pittman, news director at Civic Media, about the 60th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. I know, it seems like we just talked about the 60th anniversary of Medicare, Medicaid. It was a busy time in the summer of 65, making things happen that would be good for the nation as a whole. Obviously, those things have been under assault ever since then from a segment of the population, trying to convince another segment of the population that the things that are good for them are actually bad for them. When they're not, they only help the small set of the population. But before I lose you, we will be talking all about what the attacks on the Voting Rights Act mean, even here in Wisconsin, with Sholly Pittman coming up in just a bit. But first, let's get that updated forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Parker Olson is here as well, producing this fine shindig from Madison Studio A2, where if he had a window looking outside, and he does not, but
no.
You'd see the smoke beginning to dissipate out there. Brittany, what is your situation? I think I see something from your coming from your right that appears to be sunlight out a window. Or is that you know, actually?
I can see half and half. I can see the smoke kind of sitting there lower. And then I can see a blue sky if I look straight up. Now, I've got better air quality than a lot of cities in Wisconsin right now. I am at a moderate, even Eau Claire, Green Bay and Milwaukee are now at unhealthy for sensitive levels. So you're pushing that 100 to 150 AQI. It's starting to go up as we move into our afternoon. So my guess is this could be extended again through at least tomorrow afternoon. I don't see those winds starting to hit 15, 20 mile per hour until tomorrow afternoon as well. So,
but that change is coming.
Yeah. But
the
there is.
Coming. Okay.
Keep hanging on.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, finally. Okay, so we've got a low pressure system that's building off in Wyoming, Colorado kind of area, and it is going to be moving in a warm front, right? So first it's going to kick up the winds, get that wildfire smoke out of here. Then it's going to heat us up, bringing in some muggy and humid conditions. In fact, it's going to get very hot and humid as we go into Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, pushing near 90 degrees on those days. So the comfortable dry conditions are changing. It's also going to turn into an active, wet, stormy kind of pattern too, especially this weekend. We've got a big cold front that wants to move through on Saturday. And also, like I said, that warm front moving in on Thursday. So two chances for rain moving by. And then, of course, temperatures changing. So upper 70s to low 80s today and tomorrow. Then that heat and humidity really starts to build. But the trade-off when we have the heat and humidity and the storms, no more wildfire smoke. So I suspect maybe 24 hours left of this, but it has been the longest stretch ever that we've ever dealt with for air quality alerts.
Yes, exactly. It's not been fun, shall we say. But again, it's out of our control. And you know, everybody should be coping with it as best they can. And eventually we'll get to open up the windows full time again. Just, you know, as long as we get that before the snow falls.
Seriously. Or I'm going to be opening it while it's falling. I don't care anymore.
At that point, yes, if we don't have the smoke as an issue, I will absolutely take it. All right, Brittany. Right? Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Let's turn now to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO joining us as well. You can hear him throughout our morning show doing some of the local cut-ins, or you can catch on the Civic Media app as well, not to mention all the sports that he does. He will sometimes do play-by-play three games at a time just because he can. He's that good at this. And it's coming, isn't it? Play-by-play season for you once again.
It's actually a significant day because today is the first day of high school football practice.
Oh, yeah. So, was anybody up there doing stuff at midnight overnight?
No.
Okay, good.
I don't think so, at least.
Jimmy Pesca talked about that. He said there were some schools, you know, that actually do something at 12:01 because the rule says, you know, August 5th, it doesn't say when. So I was chiding them. I'm like, that's a little over the top. So I'm glad to hear that you're not aware of any by you.
No, but I'll be heading out later today and getting that first little dose of some football action. They're not going to be putting the pads together yet. They're just handing out equipment today and then starting that first practice. But it's an exciting time because a week from Friday is the scrimmages, and then 2 weeks from Friday, actually 2 weeks from Thursday, we'll be kicking things off. So not too far off.
No, not at all. It's funny because I can hear in your voice the relief when a season comes to an end, like you're going to get a little bit of time off. And then I can again hear in your voice, like, it's go time. It's time to get back on it. Which tells me the seasons are spaced almost just right, almost in a Goldilocks point for a guy like you and maybe for the coaches and everybody else as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think actually, I was actually talking to a current coach who I was interviewing in a different capacity, and I was saying that back in the past, there used to be a little bit more time between the fall and the winter and the winter and the spring, and I think that was better. But nowadays, they basically go together. And I think that's, especially with the multi-sport athletes, that can be a lot on the plate, and they're asked to do a lot. So I think that it'd be nice to have, a little bit more of a gap, but it is what it is.
Yeah, that's right. You deal, and that's what you do so well. What you've been talking about in some of the local reports there at WXCO?
This week has been, so far, a very positive week, and I was actually thinking about this. I have not mentioned Donald Trump once. I have not mentioned
how's that feel,
Robin Voss once or anything like that. I've been focusing on a couple of really, I think, positive stories. Yesterday, I had a young person from Athens, and she's actually Miss Marathon County, Wisconsin. But it was not about her pageant activities. She decided that she's somebody from Athens, and she decided that she wants to start an annual event where folks donate school supplies. And then she is able to give these school supplies on Saturday, August 18th to kids and families who are in need. And it was really just such a wonderful idea, wonderful thought. And so if you want to hear information on that or get information on that, go to our podcast page, go to WXCO.FM, and go to our news segment and look at the morning report from yesterday. I got all sorts of information on how you can, number one, listen to our conversation, and then number two, also be able to contact Alicia Hoffman, who is in charge of this, and be able to make a donation and I think do something really, really good as we begin another school year. And so far today, and actually today, it's been one of those, you don't really want to do this where you have three different segments in the same interview, but based on my times here for the local reports, we've had two of the three segments where yesterday I had a chance to talk to a member of the WASA East faculty and also a family member of a former WASA East school district member, WASA East graduate named Laura Morris. She passed away in November of last year after a brave battle with cancer. Very young, just in her early 30s, two young children, a young husband, but also she was a soccer standout when she was at East. She went on to become a teacher at East and a member of the WASA school district team. And one of her coaches back when she was in school, and then one of her colleagues when she returned to the WASA school district, was able to decide that he wanted to Kent Smith is his name. Kent Smith, soccer coach at East, teacher at East, in the East District, decided to start a GoFundMe to have a scholarship in honor of Laura Morris, given out to a WASA East student who have been or are being affected by cancer. And along with Ken today, we're hearing the interview, Allison Oliphant is the sister of Laura Morris. So we have been going through that discussion, obviously with a longer discussion, and talking about the incredible courage that Laura Morris showed during this battle, because she was in public with it, talking mm-hmm. about it on her social media, and the way that she was able to really be a positive force in this battle that ultimately she passed away from last November. And this idea of having the scholarship is such a wonderful one, and the response has been truly amazing to see so many folks that are donating to this scholarship fund. And we're just trying to do our best to publicize this as well. And it's really been a couple of days where, you know, sometimes you feel like, you know, there's maybe not as much goodness as we once thought there was. But as Laura Morris's sister said in our conversation, it's just as she said, people are really good. People really, I think, in their souls are solid individuals who will do the right thing. And I just think that sometimes there are forces pushing against that at times. And I think it's nice to be able to do something to maybe push the other direction. And for folks, we still have one more segment to go at 8:22. So if you want to flip over to WXCO, you can hear the conclusion of our conversation. And also, you can hear it all in one sitting on our podcast page. And also, I'll have a link to our YouTube channel where we recorded it as well. And you can see and hear it coming up this morning as well.
You just get all that on the Civic Media app. You just go on the app and go look for WXCO. You can also go through the website civicmedia.us that enables you to have these good conversations. And I'm glad you're able to have them. I know that most of the time we get worked up about things in the news, and I got a list over here at any point if we want to get you all fired up. I got stuff.
I know. And the thing is, I know it's going to be soon enough. It's like because it's all part of the brew. I mean, that's what we try to do. But I think at certain points, it's really good not to just get into that mind space all the time, and to also be able to talk about, I think, things that really do affect our lives in a positive way here in Central Wisconsin.
Yeah, we need those occasional reminders, you know, that most people appear to be inherently good or capable of doing good things and will rally together at a time. My role, I've always seen, sometimes it's you know, encouraging people to focus on the good stuff, but oftentimes I kind of feel like a wet blanket and saying to people, yes, it's good to have the good news stories, but resist the temptation to turn your back on all of the, you know, the bad stuff that's going on out there, because that's how bad people, and they're out there, you know, get away with what they're doing, is they just expect people to get turned off and tune out and all of that. So by all means, embrace the good that's out there. But, you know, I appreciate that people still keep coming back here for that, like you said, that wide range of information. Yeah, there's local news, and yeah, there's politics, and yeah, there's also the good things that people are doing. But then invariably, we have to come back and talk about what's currently in the news, because, you know, that's how we stay healthy here. That's how we stay as a democracy.
And when I hear these stories, it kind of also reminds me of how incapable of doing the job Donald Trump is. Because just yesterday, again, he's using Pocahontas, a racial slur from the president of the United States. You put, you know, this balancing act, but he is opening up the door to our worst angels.
Yes.
And I think it's important as well to push back against that. So again, it truly is one of these where I think it all has to be discussed. I think there has to be a portion to talk about certain stories that are of the more positive realm, but boy, we do have to call out such behavior, because it's wrong. Basically, it's wrong.
We got a lot of real estate here from 6 a.m. onward, and we're happy to cover it all. And Chad Holmes, get what he's doing over at 98.9 WXCO in the Wausau area, or on the Civic Media app or the website. Thank you, Chad. Talk to you a little later.
You bet.
All right. Their local update is next for some of you. And when we come back in about 15 minutes, Sholly Pittman will be here, Civic Media News Director, and we will talk about the Voting Rights Act here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
You may have heard of the 4% rule when it comes to retirement. After you retire, you withdraw 4% of your retirement savings each year. The truth is, the 4% rule should be viewed as a guide, not as a strict rule. For example, the rule is based on retiring at age 65. If you retire earlier, you may want a lower withdrawal rate. Your lifestyle also matters. Are you planning to travel the world or spend more time at home? Consider inflation as well. A well-built strategy usually includes small annual increases in withdrawals. But you don't need to take a raise just because the calendar says so. So, stay flexible and revisit your plan of withdrawals regularly. That will give you the best shot at a secure, fulfilling retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this August 4th, 2025. Have your host, James, here. We're joined by our great friend, Stephanie Hartman, from the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Steph, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Always appreciate hanging out with you and talking about the Cultural Center and the great events going on over there. There's so much going on that we will not be able to cover.
That
we encourage you to check out the website, culturalcenterarts.org, culturalcenterarts.org, and be sure to follow them on social media. More on that later. For right now, NEPCO Lake is getting to celebrate there are big traditions, and then there are the biggest of traditions.
Yep.
And centennial is to me just, I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that stuff.
That's right. It's a huge event for them, and we are involved because they were looking for a not-for-profit partner to kind of help celebrate NEPCO Lake and the 100 years and all the great things that happen at NEPCO Lake. So we are partnering with the NEPCO Lake District, which is the property owners of NEPCO Lake, and throwing this bash on August 16th. From 10 or noon until 5. Mm-hmm. And it is to celebrate their history, to celebrate our community. It's open to the public. There's been a little confusion, like, oh, it's only for NEPCO Lake property owners. It isn't. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
So come out and celebrate with us. We have a really fun day planned.
We're going to talk about the details of this, but this will be taking place at the beautiful NEPCO Lake Shelter right here in Rapids. This is one of my favorite places. I love NEPCO Lake. Love it over there. I've got so many great memories over there. And if you even have one good memory from being over there, you want to be a part of this.
Exactly.
You want you down there celebrating this great thing that I've lived in so many towns in my life, and there are so few that have something like a NEPCO lake,
yes.
Something like that available. I'm sure if you grew up in this area and it's all you've ever known, just the way being a human being is, the way time works and stuff, we kind of take things for granted sometimes, yes. And stuff. Here's a great opportunity to remind everybody how wonderful this is to have here,
exactly.
And how long we've had it here.
Yes, exactly.
That's pretty cool.
Exactly. There aren't a lot of communities that have just the beauty that we have. And we do take it for granted. You know, when I have friends come from out of town, they're like, God, this is just really a beautiful area. So take this opportunity to come and see NEPCO Lake. There are things there that I didn't know about as well. So I'm learning as we go. And I've lived here my whole life.
Right.
So you come into NEPCO Lake off of Griffith Avenue. There's a lot of confusion. Like, I can see it, but
yeah.
How do I get there?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It took me like 3 or 4 times going there before I quite got it down.
Exactly. So you come in off Griffith Avenue. We'll have banners out. We'll have balloons out. All of those types of things. But that's how you enter. There's parking close to the lake, as well as we think we'll be parking on the road that leads down there. And then music starts at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
We have Southbound.
Oh, it's awesome.
Awesome. I forget how good they are.
Yeah.
I was at Anchor Bay yesterday, and they were playing. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so fun. It made me really excited.
One of our favorite local bands. And as a quick side note, so many of the events we've done in the last couple of years, and especially this summer, that are nonprofit events, and you see Southbound attached to it. Support them like they support this community, everybody.
Yes.
Make sure to check out their music and the great things that they're doing. They're an excellent band.
They are excellent. Really fun to listen to. Get your toes tapping. You can sing along. All that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And no cover charge for that. None.
No cover charge. No charge for any part of the event, mm-hmm. Unless you purchase from the food trucks. We're mm-hmm. going to have several food trucks, and then we will have a beer and wine tent as well. And those... we also have raffle baskets.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you can purchase tickets for that. We have some really great raffle baskets. And since I mentioned it, mm-hmm. I'll do a quick shout out to our raffle basket donors. We have Joyce Clausen, Sean and Michelle Cusack. The volunteers at the Cultural Center put one together, which was really nice of them.
Oh, that's cool.
DoTerra Essential Oils by Kim Martin. Jeff and Vicky Guckenberger donated a wonderful Packers basket. The value, I think, is over $2,000. So make sure you get in on that with tickets and an overnight stay.
It's worth $2,000 in general. In Wisconsin, I don't even want to think about how much that
exactly. Ida's Sports Bar and Grill, Norby's Honey, Southwood County Historical Museum, Sportsman's Bar and Grill, The Home Depot, and John and Peg Washausen. Those are the ones we have so far. I have a feeling we'll have some trickle in yet.
Sure.
We've actually got 2 full weeks, even though it feels like it's tomorrow. but we've got some time. So thanks to all those folks for doing that.
Big, big thank you to them. And having that involved in an event like this is a mainstay for something, you know, having a raffle. And again, all the proceeds for these things that we're talking about, too, are going to benefit arts and environmental initiatives in our community. So another great opportunity that nobody does like Central Wisconsin, where we have a good time for a good cause.
That's right.
Nobody does it like us. That's great.
In addition to that, we have a all-plain painting event. Mm. So we have some artists signed up who will be painting live on site and be painting the scenes of NEPCO Lake or the Bash. Whatever they decide to paint. So it's up to them. So that'll be fun. If you are an artist and are interested, you can actually sign up on our website. We have a little link for you, and you can just fill out a form. Again, no charge. Just come and enjoy nature and the activities.
Shout out to those artists doing that. That's incredible.
It's so cool.
Years ago, in teaching improv, comedy and stuff, we had a painter come in because they did a lot of this kind of work, and they wanted to get better, feel more comfortable interacting with the crowd. They were fine with doing the painting thing. And we were all, as artists, you know, we've been doing this for like 10 years or whatever. We're like blown away by them.
Right.
Like what we do is one thing. What they do with that, it's incredible. And to be able to see it is pretty cool. That's
awesome. And I think to be able to, you know, just kind of view them and then go back and look again and go back and look again as their piece is coming together is just, it's an incredible thing to watch happen.
I think most of us that love art, one of the things that brings us to a piece is the story or the history history of that piece, exactly. Not just the visual of it. So yeah, that's a really good, that's a great point by that.
Yeah, so that will be fun. We also will have some art activities on site for kids or adults. Mm-hmm. We're going to do painting of walking sticks, rock painting, and some other things. So again, free of charge, we ask for a couple donations here and there.
You were listening to The Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. We're getting closer to the start of the school year, and that means more kids walking or biking early in the morning and in the early afternoon. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation reminds drivers the August law of the month is school bus safety. They say traffic patterns change when school is in session. You'll see more school buses on the road, and you'll need to be mindful of your surroundings to help keep kids safe. Each year, more than 600 crashes happen in Wisconsin involving school buses. The Wisconsin DOT says these crashes are preventable. Remember the rules. When you see flashing red lights, stop at least 20 feet away in both directions. Flashing amber or yellow lights mean the bus is approaching a pickup point and you should slow down and be ready to stop. There are some big changes for high school sports this season. Jimmy Cuska reports.
High school sports are back, and there are plenty of changes for the upcoming school year in Wisconsin. A new policy allows for name, image, and likeness deals, meaning that high school student athletes can receive compensation for NIL. However, the new policy is extremely restrictive on who can pay a student and what products, services, or materials a student can endorse. Another new rule this year will require any spectator removed from an event to take an online sportsmanship course before being allowed back and after serving a one-game suspension.
The advisory for elevated levels of E. coli at Mission Lake Beach in Marathon County has been lifted. The beach is again open for swimming and boating. Several departments are working together to identify exactly where the sewage spill came from, and while several potential sources were evaluated, all have been ruled out so far. If you notice any unusual activity at the lake, you can contact the Marathon County Sheriff's Office. If you visited Mission Lake between July 22nd to July 28th and got sick, contact the Marathon County Health Department. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Fantastic Four: The First Steps was tops at the box office this past weekend, despite a bigger attendance dip than prognosticators initially thought. The film opened strong with $117 million last weekend, but dropped off by almost 70% to pull in only $40 million this past weekend. According to Variety, that is a sign the film has not connected with audiences beyond superhero fans. The film is sitting at $198 million domestically and cost $200 million to make. Coming in second place was The Bad Guys 2, which brought in just under $23 million, matching the original film's take on opening weekend in 2022. Audience scores were through the roof, which could mean the film will be in theaters for a while. Landing in third place with $17 million at the gate was the highly anticipated The Naked Gun. The film pulled in another $12 million overseas. Audience scores for this comedy are also strong. Superman and Jurassic World Rebirth rounded out the top five. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We are going to be dealing with more of that wildfire smoke today. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high right around 82 this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We're going to drop down to 63 tomorrow. More sunshine with a high right around 85. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Listen to what you desire, don't play with matches.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll discuss the Trump tariffs. They're off, they're on, they're up, they're down. But what does it mean to us in Wisconsin? We'll be joined by Wisconsin business owner Kyle LaFond on that and also PBS.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Brewers were winners in Atlanta last night, 3-1. The one for Atlanta was a first pitch home run given up by Quinn Priester. After that, he only gave up one other hit. The three was thanks to Isaac Collins hitting a three-run homer. So again, 3-1, Brewers over Atlanta. Trevor McGill picked up his 25th save of the season. Quinn Priester, 10 wins in a row now, something virtually unheard of in starting pitching for the Brewers. What is it, like the third time that's been done ever? Freddy Peralta pitching tonight as the Brewers continue their series in Atlanta. The pregame begins at 5:40 on Civic Media stations across Wisconsin. Head to the website to learn which ones are carrying the Brewers again tonight and tomorrow evening. And then they're off before they come home for a series against the New York Mets. We're going to talk a bit about the 60th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act and the way that it continues to be under assault and its potential impact on Wisconsin. We're going to talk about that with Civic Media News Director Shali Pittman, but we haven't really talked to her yet on this program. So we're going to talk to Shali about Shali first. Shali, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. It's an hour earlier than Matt and Aaron Air, so, you know, getting used to that.
Well, I mean, we didn't ask you to be here at 6:36. 8:36, I think, works all right for you.
Yeah.
It is one of the struggles of this program. The struggle is real. But in being extended to 9 o'clock, we now get a chance for the non-early birds to kind of be here along with us as well. So let's find out more for folks that may not have heard you on Jane's show or elsewhere on the Civic Media Radio Network, because you haven't been here for very long. But you are a recognized radio presence in the Madison area. So tell us your path from wherever you want to start to right here where we are now.
Well, thank you so much. In Madison, definitely, yes. I come most recently from WORT, a community radio station in Madison with a 50-year history. I was news and talk director there. I oversaw about 150 volunteers a week and some staff. But WORT has a long history in Madison. I was many things at WORT in my time there. I spent about a dozen years there in total. I was everything from a punk DJ to a news reporter to news director. Before that, I, you know, worked a little bit, interned at Wisconsin Public Radio, worked at the student radio station when I was in college. So I've sort of been doing radio since I was 18. I would have done it earlier, like some other folks here at this network, but I didn't have access.
That's all interesting, but we have to seize on the most important of those, punk DJ, and what it was that you especially liked or continue to like to this day. Or was it all just a shift that you did and turns out you're not a punk devotee after all?
You know, it was a time in my life where that was applicable. Still like punk music, but I frequently irritated the music director by going outside the bounds of the format. So it was punk and experimental music. It was 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
I was
going to
say, I wasn't aware that there were guidelines around punk that would get you in trouble, but apparently so.
Well, that was my whole point, isn't the whole gist behind punk music to go outside the bounds?
To be rebellious, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. We're talking to Shali Pittman. By the way, that's C-H-A-L-I, which means that everybody here mistakenly called you Charlie for like at least your first month here. Is there a story, an origin story on your first name?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yes, I get a lot of Charlies. I'm okay with that, but it is Shali. My mom, it's not short for anything. My mom likes French.
Yeah.
And she was also raised in sort of a Jewish household, so L'chaim So she took the two and put them together, and she made it up. My full name was supposed to be much longer, with many, like, three middle names, but that didn't fly, so.
Okay. So you, and you didn't feel the need to be, again, continuing on this rebellious streak and taking some other nickname or anything like that. Okay.
No, I like my first name. I'm okay with it.
Yes, you should. No, that's great. So many stories to cover that you've been covering, but I've been especially interested in the Voting Rights Act because, again, President Lyndon Johnson signed it 60 years ago tomorrow, August 6th, 1965. And, I mean, everybody knows what it was intended to do. It was supposed to make racial discrimination a thing of the past when it comes to American elections, and yet we find ourselves in a far different place than we would have expected to be now with an administration and a U.S. Supreme Court so downright hostile to it. And a lot of the roots for this come from a 2013 Supreme Court decision. It's one of those cases where if you tell people about the Shelby County decision, I mean, there's a sliver of the population that gets all worked up about it. The vast majority go, what? What are you talking about here? So can you take us from like 2013 onward as far as the role of the U.S. Supreme Court in what arguably has been a weakening of the Voting Rights Act?
Yeah, the Voting Rights Act, as you said, one of those landmark pieces of legislation that protect voting rights and that election lawyers talk a lot about and point to. So in 2013, Shelby County v. Holder made a section of the Voting Rights Act unenforceable. And that's Section 5. And the Voting Rights Act is split into sections. But that was the beginning. Several years ago, a separate Supreme Court decision further weakened it, right? And unblocked rules that it prohibits states from creating rules that have a disparate impact on voting. And so in 2021, that further got weakened. But Section 2 is really the part of the Voting Rights Act that remains and is the most kind of powerful part of the Voting Rights Act. It allows folks from communities of color who have historically been discriminated against and had their voting power diluted, it allows them to challenge maps or practices that dilute the power of their vote. And significantly, Section 2 prohibits things like cracking and packing. Have you heard those terms before, Pat?
Cracking and packing, I think more Wisconsinites are familiar with than most other states because they describe different ways that you can gerrymander a political map. And so to bring that to the current day, you have this section of the Voting Rights Act that was especially applicable to the former states of the Confederacy, states in the Deep South, states with a history of racial discrimination. You fast forward to 2013 and the Shelby decision, and you have people saying, oh, we've cured racism. There's no more racism. We do not need this anymore. These states do not need federal pre-clearance anymore to do the things that they are going to do. Now fast forward 12 more years to the present day, and we're seeing packing and cracking and gerrymandering in Texas on a level I did not think we could ever see in these 60 years of the Voting Rights Act. You have legislators, leaving the state to deny a quorum, similar to what we saw in Wisconsin. And again, I don't think anybody could have predicted this back in 1965, that this would be the world we live in 2025.
You bring up a term, pre-clearance, right? And there's a lot of terminology in election law and a lot of terminology around the Voting Rights Act. So pre-clearance is this idea that states and governments had to get federal approval before changing their voting practices in certain parts that have historically been discriminated against, and especially in parts of the South. Section 5 wasn't necessarily struck down in 2013, but it was made sort of unenforceable. Section 2 was affirmed several years ago in 2023 in another Supreme Court case that allowed or required Alabama to draw new lines. So it was kind of a challenge there. But I'm not sure if you're familiar with the name Rick Hassin. He's kind of a big deal in election law. He's a obviously a lawyer and a scholar out of California. And he's warning in a new article at Slate that the U.S. Supreme Court appears poised to strike down Section 2 in Louisiana v. Calais next year. Now, that Supreme Court case has already been heard. What's interesting about that is it's going to be re-argued before the court in their kind of next term, likely with the decision next summer. It's not that usual for the U.S. Supreme Court to ask for cases to be re-argued. So we have to kind of wonder what's going on there.
Yeah. So all of this, I'm sure, has folks in Wisconsin saying, well, what does that have to do with elections here moving forward? But whether we're talking about redistricting or the photo ID law or other areas, what this court has been doing in terms of the Voting Rights Act and what this Congress and president could be doing, Wisconsin elections could be impacted in a couple of different ways, couldn't they?
You know, it could, right? We have parts of Wisconsin that have been historically been discriminated against, especially in the Milwaukee area. The Milwaukee area has been subject to Voting Rights Act violations under Section 2, with the claim that it was their voting strength was diluted. So this was part of the Fair Maps battle. You know, we have different maps now, but everywhere could be subject to this, right? It's really still a really important part of legislation.
Yeah. And again, it's not just the Voting Rights Act. There are other ways that voting rules are being impacted. You know, here in Wisconsin, there was that constitutional amendment last fall that simply changed one word, changed the word from every to only. And that changed the way that voting in Wisconsin deals with whether people, you know, with documentation of citizenship, you know, can vote or not. We've probably take it for granted in journalistic circles, Sholly, but it's amazing the power of changing a single word, what it can have on, you know, the true impact of a state law or a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, language matters. It changed the phrase every U.S. citizen aged 18 or older can who resides in election may vote, and to only U.S. citizens aged 18 or older can vote. Now, why does that matter? What does that fundamentally change? Well, there's no municipality in Wisconsin that I'm aware of that allows folks who are either under 18 or who are non-U.S. citizens to vote. But there are instances in other municipalities outside of Wisconsin that do allow folks to say, let's say you're not a U.S. citizen, to vote in a local school board election, for example. And this makes it harder for any municipality to make those types of decisions in the future.
Right. And for those who wonder, well, why would that be the case? Those municipalities in those other states have said, hey, they may not be documented citizens, but their kids still go to our schools. Why shouldn't they get a say in who is running those schools? So in those places, they've allowed non-U.S. citizens to vote in those local elections. But this constitutional amendment would, or this change in the Constitution, I should say, would preclude that from ever being able to happen here in Wisconsin. We are talking to Civic Media News Director Sholly Pittman, and it's a discussion some of us will continue in a bit. Others will be taking a break for a local update. And then tomorrow, of course, we'll have our homeroom segment where we will be talking all about what the Green Bay City Council and School Board did to have greater taxpayer transparency when it comes to the Voucher Schools program. So tune in for that tomorrow on these mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Southwood County YMCA is the place where there is always something going on for every age. August has some exciting programs like youth high school gymnastics, parkour, crafting club, archery, and so much more. Bring your family to the Southwood County YMCA and grow together while you play and live a healthier life. The Southwood County YMCA is here for you and your family with financing available. Stop in, take a tour, and learn about the many programs to help keep your family busy and healthy. Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winter Field. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball!
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Tom joining us right now. Tom, how you been?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Always appreciate the time from you, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. Where do you want to start, Tom?
Let's start with August 4th. It was Coast Guard was established today in 1790.
I was hoping that's where you want to start. We don't get to highlight our Coast Guard nearly enough. And one of the things that we appreciate about this segment, Tom, that you do is in mentioning notes like this. Certainly the attention and the events going on at the VFW, but anytime us as citizens can tip our hat to an organization or a part of our military or something like that, it's on every one of us to take that moment. And a big thank you to everybody who has been involved with the Coast Guard and all the good work that they do there. That's a great note.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Coast Guard is, you know, it's a smaller organization. Mm-hmm. So when you go to like a ball game or something, they say, you know, you only see like one or two stand up in a crowd, but they're very, very important.
Yes, yeah, they are. We know if we didn't have them. That's
right.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. And August 5th, the Women's Service Pilots, which was established in 1943, you know, took place of a lot of male pilots just to get the planes to their destinations.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Another great moment.
And August 6th, the Allied Vets meeting out at the VFW post. And August 7th is Purple Heart Day. And that started back in 1782.
It's amazing to think of.
Wow.
1782. That's incredible. Even baseball's not that old.
And then one close to our heart, in August 7th, Vietnam War started in 64.
Mm. Yeah. I just another note on this, when we note these things, and I can't speak for other people, but in the last month, I lost my Uncle Tim, who served in the Vietnam War.
Right.
And it immediately makes me think of him and other individuals I've known that were a part of it. It's another reason why we appreciate you noting these things. So.
And then, interesting, August 10th is Agent Orange Awareness Day. Mm, those kind of tie in.
Yeah, they do. Very much.
Together.
Yeah.
And then the 12th is Morning Joe and Doe over at Stevens Point. And then Tuesday, August 12th, VFW at Culver's.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. One of our favorite combinations.
Love
it. Yes. Yes.
From 4 to 8. Drive through inside, we get a percentage of what sales were there, and we are present, greeting people, talking with people. So you've got to eat.
Yeah,
come on through.
I love these opportunities. We're like, oh, I guess we got to get Culver's tonight.
What a bummer.
Any excuse to have Culver's in our lives is fantastic.
Right.
It's also another note of when you hear me mention Culver's and I talk about this, I mention it all the time, and I've talked to many of the people at Culver's about this. Culver's is the type of big where they don't really need to advertise. Like, it's not that people are still going to go there. People are still going to, you know, they built something. They've established something very strong to the point where they can do things like this with our VFW or do our Star of the Day or these kind of things and just focus on working with communities, being a part of communities. It's not so much just about advertising as it is, hey, we're with you. We're a part of things with you. And I admire that. I appreciate that from that company very much. They don't have to do this stuff. They go out of their way to, though.
Exactly. And they just had a situation with law enforcement.
Yep.
And that was statewide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're a very really cool community-orientated mm-hmm. business. Mm-hmm. And they're a Wisconsin corporation.
That's
yes.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another big one coming up on the 13th.
The 13th, No Heroes Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
If you show up, the doors will be locked.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Keep that in mind, everybody. Yeah.
Just a reminder.
Yep.
Yeah, the people at the church have a conference that they have to go to,
okay.
so they had to...
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. And also on the 13th is the American Legion Post 9's meeting. And on the 14th, no Vietnam veterans. We also got this month off.
Okay. Okay. All
so
right.
2 months in a row.
Okay.
Yes.
It's summer.
Not that he's counting.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of 45 Day is on the 14th. That's remembering our greatest generation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, from World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 14th, also the Rudolph American Legion monthly meeting. And on August 14th, end of war with Japan in 1945.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a younger person, they had VE Day to come in Europe and VJ Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that was always real big because that generation parents were lived during that time frame. We don't have that anymore, and that's whatever.
It's on us to note those, though. Yeah,
right.
It's good.
And then also on the 14th is Navajo Code Talkers Day.
Yeah,
very cool.
Another great one to research and look into.
Mm-hmm. That was really something.
Yeah.
And then Friday and Saturday, the 15th and 16th, the Kellner Corn Fest. It's a Friday and a Saturday.
Yeah.
And the Saturday is the parade.
It's going to be a good one. It's going to be a great time. We'll be talking more about that as we get closer to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of people locally that go out there. We're very busy.
Yeah, yes. That's a big one.
I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And the VFW is the only place at the Corn Fest that sells sweet corn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right on. Right.
If you want your corn at the Corn Fest, they're the ones to go to.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the 16th of August is National Airborne Day for those vets that, you know, they jumped behind the lines.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, very...
very appreciative to this.
Yes. And National Aviation Day is on the 19th. And on the 21st, VFW's monthly meeting at 6 o'clock at the VFW post. And then the next day, we're at the Nakusa football game presenting the colors
That's
before the
awesome.
Game. And that is very a neat performance.
Yeah.
We've been there a couple of times. The students actually carry flags.
That's
wow.
cool.
And
That's...
they run into the huddle carrying a flag.
Very cool.
It is cool and moving at the same time. Yeah.
Yes. And on Wednesday the 27th, the Heroes Cafe comes back.
All right.
They're back. So stop down there for coffee and fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Thursday the 29th is Marine Corps Reserve Day. And then Friday and Saturday, the 29th and 30th, the VFW has their poppy distribution.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. We do not sell these poppies. They're not sold.
Mm-hmm.
Donations are accepted.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
Pick up one of those poppies when you can, everybody.
Exactly. And then on Sunday, August 31st, the Iraqi Freedom War ended in 2010.
My gosh. That's just, I see that 2010.
15 years ago.
Man,
wow.
That's amazing to think of. Wow.
And you remember it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's it for August. In September, we're going to get busy because we've got, 9-11. Mm-hmm. You can ask a lot of people, where were you when you heard 9-11?
Yeah. That's an important one. We got a bunch of other important things going on in September, too. And we're looking forward to talking with you about them, Tom.
Yeah, once I get that sheet done.
Well, before
he's got some work to do, yeah.
Yeah.
Before that happens, of course, if people have things they want to add to that sheet, or just want to thank you for what you do, or any of the above, Tom, how can they reach you?
You can just call the VFW at 715-600-0401.
Thank you for listening to WFHR and WIRI Studios. For more information or for the rest of our content, you can visit WFHR.com, WIRI.FM, or the Civic Media.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Texas state Republicans have voted to have a group of Democrats arrested and brought home after they fled the state to protest a plan to redraw the congressional map. U.S. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett.
The Democrats are not going to stand for this any longer. We know that we are standing for the people. And so long as we stand for the people, I absolutely believe the people are going to stand for us.
Last night in Nebraska.
Chance
of tax the rich at Mike Flood's town hall in Lincoln. To that, the Republican says,
when President Trump passed the 2017 tax cuts, we saw explosive growth in this country.
A report from the Coast Guard concludes the implosion of the Titan submersible on the way to the